Praise the Lord. What a thought. Give myself away so you can use me. I'm always ready to preach on that. Think about it, brother and sister. That's all he wants. And we want to offer him all this other stuff as a substitute. We want to offer him our religion. Well, look how much I pray. Look how much I do. Look how good I'm living. He said, all I want is your heart. All right, you can keep the rest of that. I'll take care of that. Just give me your heart, and then we got a place to work with. But that's hard to do because you have to die to yourself. It's good to see everybody this morning. God bless y'all for being here. I'm excited to be here. I'll just tell you the truth. Church kind of gets to me sometimes in a good way. I like it. I like what the effect it has on me. And I look around and see the effect it has on you. So, amen. Let's go to prayer. Lord Jesus, we're just so grateful we can be here this morning. Father, just to sing in your praises and to worship and knowing that your spirit is here as you promised to be. Lord, I don't think I've ever come to church here where you didn't show up, Lord Jesus. And that's, you're just so faithful and true, and we're so grateful for that, Lord Jesus. Help us now this morning, Father, we come to hear your voice speak to us, just your secrets that you speak to your bride, Lord Jesus. And if we could just hear you, if we could just open our hearts and just give our hearts to you as we were singing that song, I give myself away. And all you're saying, that's all I ever wanted from you. Just give me your heart. I'll take care of everything else. Lord Jesus, we're come here just to give a little bit more than we did before. And we can walk out of here knowing you in a greater way than we ever have before. Just a closer walk with you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to anoint each heart to hear, anoint my voice to speak, Lord, and give me the thoughts, give me the words that you would have said, the spirit to say it in. And Lord, help each person just to be closer to you. We ask this with great expectation that you will do this because it's according to your word. I pray for all the physical needs that people have, that you will heal us, you will touch us in our body and our spirits, deliver us, Father, and just have your way among us, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible, I'm going to read a couple of places. The first is Isaiah 60, and then also from Zechariah 14. Is this thing on, Brother Todd? Good. All right. The Lord has risen upon thee. My. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. In Zechariah 14 and 6, it says, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. You may have your seat if you would like to. Like it says, that in that it shall be in one day. So there's a specific day he's talking about where at evening time it shall be light. So what I want to talk about today is a thought of the seduction of the going between. The seduction of the going between. And right now, if you're sitting there thinking, what in the world are you talking about? Because that doesn't make any sense at all. And you're right, it doesn't. But hopefully by the time I'm finished, if you don't fall asleep on me, then you'll know what I'm talking about. All right? So I'm going to read out of Shalom. I read out of this message quite a bit today. And Brother Bram says this. Now I say to this church, Shalom, God's peace, peace. Every true Hebrew, when he meets another, it's Shalom. Other words, good morning. God be with you. God's peace with you. It's good morning. How do you do? It's breaking day, church. It's darkness upon the people, but it's good morning to the church. Christ is appearing among us. Shalom, peace, hallelujah, shalom. So here's the prophet, and he's bringing something, a whole new thought that is never spoke on specifically like this before, and that is there's a new day dawning. It's shalom. It's a rise and shine. The Lord is shining upon you, and it's gross darkness on the people, and they're going off into darkness, but it's light at the evening time, and that light is for you, the bride. Because what is it? It's a new day dawning. Now, right away, people say, well, what do you mean a new day? What we're talking about is not a new church age because we're still physically and naturally in the Laodicean church age. That doesn't end until we're actually leave on the rapture. But we have come up. We've been called up higher. We've been raptured out of this into what he called the bride age. And that bride age is a new day.
And it's very important for us to recognize that it is a different day. It's not just some kind of a thought, well, we see the message now, we're just kind of moving forward, we see more than those people out there. And no, brothers, this is literally, spiritually, a new day has dawned, and it is the bride age, and this is where we have to be in, and nobody else has access to this day except for the bride. He says this, when we see darkness settling, darkness just before day, we know that the morning star is hanging yonder to introduce the coming sun. How does he do it? He says, shalom, good morning. That's exactly what he was doing. He said he went and did it. Then he turned around and said, now this is what's happening right here. Is the morning star is hanging out and say, hey, y'all, a new day is coming. He's going to introduce the morning sun. That's what his message was to do, is to bring us in contact, to recognize the sun has risen in this new day. It's the light at the evening time. And we all message believers, we say, oh, we know that. We've heard that scripture 1,000 times. We sang that song 1,000 times. But how many people actually recognize that, no, really, this light is shining at the evening time, and it was not just that morning star. He was saying, there's a sun coming. Wake up and recognize it when it's coming. Don't just be looking at me. Brother Brandon was not the rising sun. Because listen to what he says. He says, let me just finish. Go read that again. He said, we know that the morning star is hanging yonder to introduce the coming sun. It's that when the morning star shines. Not the sun, the morning star is his shining, and his job is to introduce the rising sun. He said, it's the going between. It's the going between. It's when light is coming, dawn is coming, but the sun is ready. And he's saying, the sun is coming. Open your eyes. Be aware of what you're going on. All right, that's my foundation. Friday. You all know I run. Friday I had to do a long run because I was going to be busy. Saturday, yesterday, I had this celebration, this party to go to and all. And so I had two choices. I could either get up early and run before work, or I could wait till after work and run after work. I'm going to be running about 3 hours or something. It's a long run. Now the difference is, if I get up beforehand, I can run in 60-degree weather. If I run afterwards, it's going to be about 90 degrees in the blazing sun. Guess what's the best time to run? So I did. I got up about 5, went to the greenway. It was dark. There's some sun, the moon was out a little bit, so I could see enough to run, but it was dark. There were some street lights and stuff. I run through this greenway in this natural area, this park, and there's some trees and stuff around. It was beautiful. Fog was laying low, and you could just see the halos over the lights. It's a perfect time. The only thing is it's dark, and you might step on a snake who's in the pathway if you're not being careful, right? So I need a little bit more light, but it's great. I was enjoying it, and slowly it starts getting lighter and lighter, and you could see more, and it was just beautiful. And then, it's dawn, and it's coming up, and pretty soon it's just daylight. Everything is wonderful. It's still really nice and cool. It's about 60 degrees. You can see everywhere. But why was I running early? Because of what was just about ready to happen. That sun was going to come up. It was nice. It was comfortable. It was lukewarm. It was where people love to serve God because it feels good. And it's not hard at all. Because you don't have to be in the direct rays of the sun. But when the sun comes up and you step off into that new day, things get a little bit dicey. It gets uncomfortable. Many times I'll get up in the morning and my front porch faces the east, and I'll get up during that dawn. It's nice, it's daylight, it's peaceful, it's just comfortable. And then just as the sun comes up, I'm sitting there on my porch and the sun comes up right over those trees, and immediately I have to do something or I'm going to have blinded eyes. So I have to put on sunglasses, put on a hat with a brim, turn sideways, because if I just sit there, it's just going to blind my eyes, because that's what the sun does. If you sit there a little bit longer, it gets hot. And then I start sweating. And then I'm uncomfortable. So I get, you know what I do? You go in, you get inside. You know why you go inside? Because I control the atmosphere inside. Oh, my. It's a man-made atmosphere, and I can make it as cold or as hot as I want. I can make it as light or as dark as I want. I can wear what I want. I don't have to wear anything. I can do whatever I want inside that man-made atmosphere because it's nice and comfortable. But if I go outside, I cannot control the atmosphere because that sun controls everything outside. And if I'm going to be out there, I'm going to get hot. And it'll burn you. And that's why people like the going between, because it feels good. And they'll find a church to go where it's nice and comfortable because it's a man-made atmosphere. Because the sun hasn't come up for that ministry or what's going on. Now, don't get all like, I'm going to make it closer than that, okay? You can sit in this church and still not walk in the sunlight. I don't care what kind of ministry, and I fully believe that the ministry comes across this pulpit is bringing you to that direct sunlight. Is bringing it. If I don't believe that, I wouldn't be going here, friends, because my soul means more than that. But you can come here and you can sit in this church, and sometimes you get your hide scalded, and you go through hard times. It can be really rough sometime, and it's the direct sunlight burning that greenness out of you, because that's what it is. That's what the sun does. It brings that wheat to maturity, and it has to get hotter and hotter. And you can come here and say, "Oh, Brother Jerry or Brother Phil, they really scalded me. We really had such a service, and boy, I feel all scoured out." And the rest of the week, you go home into your own man-made atmosphere. You're not coming to maturity. You have to live in that atmosphere every day. It's something that you have to do. And I'm not talking about going and being religious. Well, I pray all the time, Brother Phil. I read the Bible. I listen to the quotes. I stream ministers. I do that. You can do all that and go straight to hell. That's not necessarily creating the atmosphere, because that atmosphere is created by the attitude you have towards the Word. The attitude you have towards people, the attitude that you walk in, because that's the way you die to yourself. And the whole thing about the sun shining on you and getting rid of that greenness is bringing to maturity, molding that character so you're ready for a rapture. That's why Brother Man, he said, I think when he preached this, it was in January he preached this. He said, now, the wheat that might come up now, the sun is very weak. And if you put the August or September sun on the wheat right now, it would kill it. It's too strong. But if you don't get stronger as the year goes by, and if you're still in August with this same sunlight, your wheat's not going to mature either. And brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking, he preached this 50 or 60 years ago, the rising of the sun, and the new day is dawning. And if he preached that, we are way down. That day is far spent. Spiritually speaking, the sun is blazing hot right now. We're in the harvest time. That's where we're at. And we need to be in the hot rays of the sun. And if we keep finding shelter every time someone preaches something we don't like, or every time your spouse says something you don't like, or every time someone cuts you off in traffic you don't like, or every time something goes wrong in school or something, you get an attitude. What you're doing, you're pulling out your umbrella and say, "I don't want to deal with this sun right now," because God puts you through those situations to bring you to a maturity. And if we refuse to let that have the effect it's supposed to be, then we're not coming to maturity and we're not going in a rapture. But the thing is, if you do have a seed of God in you, it will force you to put that umbrella down and deal with it like a child of God. Amen. That's exactly right. Let me read a little bit more. He said, that's when the morning star shines. It's going between. It's always dark. It's just a few minutes before day. The blackout comes. The moon fails to shine. Oh, I wish I had time to go into this, but brother and sister, I'm going to go into this. I'm just going to get there in a little bit. The moon fails to shine. What does that mean? The light is still there. The light is so bright that you don't need the moon anymore. Oh, I wish I could get... I got to wait. Let me keep going. Got me excited. So the going between, it's when dawn has come and you see light, but before the sun starts shining. And this is when many message believers walk, because they see light. I mean, before the sun comes up, it's broad daylight. You can look around. There's hardly any shadows or anything. You can see just fine. And it's a comfortable place to be. And you can sit on a message pew and say, I see so much light. I see the message. I see the prophet. I see all this going on. I see what's happening, and I see way more, and I see the darkness getting stronger, the gross darkness on the people. Oh, my goodness, look at the world today. You talk about gross darkness, they're just perversions and everything, and we're out of that, and we say, look at that, those poor people, and I'm walking in light, and they are. But that don't mean they're walking in the sun. Because you can sit in this pew in this church and be a message believer and be a good person and refuse to walk in the sun. There's the seduction. Because you look at yourself and you say, I'm a message believer. I believe just the way everyone else does. Are you letting the word scald you? Are you letting the word have the effect it's supposed to have? Or do you protect yourself from it? Well, Brother Jerry didn't need to preach that. Well, he didn't need to say it that way. Well, whatever. I've been in many times and here in different places where the preacher says something, I'm like, well, I don't know if you should say it that way. Holy Spirit says, well, what's that to you? What, does it hurt your feelings? That's the reason I had him say it that way, is because you got a little bit of pride there. You want to be talked to a special way. You need a little pacifier? Here you go, Phil. Pop it in there. He don't do that, friends. He says, it's time for you to grow up, boy. Quit acting like you're I'm not even going to say teenager. I'm going to say a toddler. I don't want to embarrass the teenagers in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You been there? Good. So Brother Brown's ministry, he has come here and say, hey, I'm here to introduce Christ, the light of the world. He's going to shine bright. He said, I didn't come here to introduce myself. I didn't come here so you could sit in a church and just listen to my tapes and refuse to walk in the sun. I didn't sit here for you to just sit on a ministry that just has, it's just a good holiness ministry, and you wear your hair right and you dress right and you quit doing the bad things, you do the good things. Brothers and sisters, those are all necessary. But you give your heart to God correctly, he'll take care of all that stuff. You don't even have to worry about that. But what you do have to understand is walking in the sun is a lot more than just that. A lot more to it. We're just talking, Brother Jerry, a minute ago in the back there, about how many people that we've seen come and go and come and go, and they come and they make a start with the Lord, but then they go, and Jesus told why it's going to happen, because some of that seed that's sown, it falls into rocky ground. It doesn't have any place to go down and take a deep root, and when the sun shines on it, it withers away, and those people are gone. There's people in here who just started in this walk. Wonderful. It's exciting. Just gives us a surge of praise God. And Brother Jerry just preached on the invitation. And you look around and all that. I've been here for 34 years. I've seen dozens and dozens. Brother Jim and Sister Joy have seen way more than that. People come and you have confidence in them and then they're gone. And other people come and you think, yeah, they're not going to make it. And they stick around. And then, just your own thought, you know. But you see so many people come and then they go because it gets a little too hot. It gets too hot. But some people have been here for many years. Some of you new people, you just started. I want you to be very aware of three things. First of all, you're stepping out into a bright, blazing hot sun. You don't have the years that some of us have had to get hotter and hotter and hotter. You have to step right out into it. It's like you take off your shirt and walk out on the beach or something, and it's 110 degrees. That's the atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere you're stepping into. And you're going to go with it because you have to get from where you're at to here in a very short time. Some of us had years to get to maturity. You have this much time. You're going to go through it, friends. It's going to be rough, but I got two more things to tell you. First of all, the 11th hour workers, they stepped into it at the very last. And he said, and then the people who had gone through the, I've been a message believer for 50 years. Someone who's been born again for 30 minutes is just as born again as someone who's been born again for 30 years. There is no seniority when it comes to children of God. He says, you're all my kids. Act like my kids. There's no seniority. And he said, they're going to get the same pay that you who've been working all day. You know the people here a long time? It's because we kept this place open so people could come in all the way at the end. But you know what? When the rapture comes, we all get the same rapture. Amen. There's not, well, I'm getting a better body change than you got. With that attitude, you probably ain't going to get one. The other thing I want to leave you with is this, the invitation. All these people have been coming and going and coming and going, and good people, and you know what happens? They say, I want to be a Christian. People want to be a Christian their whole life, and they walk with it a little while. They come out of Egypt, and they're walking out in the light that they see, but what happens? In the heart, they say, yeah, but I don't like it out here in the hot desert. I wish I was back in Egypt where I had a little bit more comfort. I know I was enslaved to sin. I was enslaved to my own ideas. I was enslaved to my own nature. I liked it that way because I was comfortable, and out here in the desert, I have to depend on God. And they turn and they find an excuse not to keep going. I gotta go. I got married. I can't do this anymore. I gotta go take care of my eyes. Got a new house. I got a new pastor raised up a church over here, and that's a lot more comfortable with that church. He said, they've deemed themselves not worthy. None of them are going to taste of my supper. He said, but I'm going to have a full table. So he said, get out there and you find the people who were not invited. You find the sinners. You find the drug addicts. You find the broken marriages. You find the people that everyone threw off and said, well, they're not going to amount to anything. He said, you're going to fill up my dinner. And I don't care who you are, if whatever background you come from has nothing to do with it. If you felt that invitation is in your heart, then you're just a... You're just as much a son of God as Jesus Christ himself was, because you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and he calls you his brother and his sister. That's how he sees us. That's not how religious people see you. That's not how the message people see you, but that's how Jesus Christ sees you. And when we have Jesus Christ in here, that's the same place the bride of Christ sees you. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. I don't care how long you've been there. If you've been there for 50 years or 5 minutes, you're still equal. Don't you dare let Satan come and bring up your past. No, I'm talking about everyone. Don't you dare let him discourage you. He said, well, I'm struggling quitting this. Well, praise the Lord, you're still a human being, because I struggle with those things too. And I have a trouble with this. Brother and sister, every person in here still struggles with their own flesh. And if you're going to stand there and say you don't, we all know you're a liar, so you're not going to say it. It's true, friends. We're going to struggle, and Satan's going to come and try to discourage you and discourage you and say, you go to church and you're bored to death. You know why? Because you're in a desert. I don't like deserts. I don't like the hot sun. Friends, this is the only way you get in a rapture is when you go through the desert experiences, because you had to be out there in the hot sun. There has never been a group of people so tested and so tried and so battle-scarred as this last day bride. It's never been, because you and I, brother and sister, are going to fulfill a part of the scripture that no other group has ever been able to do it. And the only way you can do it is when he can trust you. And the only way he can trust you is when you have come to such a place a surrender that I just completely give myself away. That's why you're here this morning, friends. That's the very purpose for your life. God took this one and married that one to have this one, and he married this one to this have that one, and they might not even have been married, but they had a child, and they had another child to get to you, to get to just the right person that he wanted you to be, so that he could get you right where he could to trust you. To trust you. That's all it was about. Oh, what kind of gifts can I manifest? Well, oh, shut up. Just get trustworthy. He never made a mistake with your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your parents. He got there just a person, just what he wanted you to be. Because he said, I'm going to put you, got you just right. He said, no, I'm going to put you through the ringer. We've taught many times around here, this church has been through the ringer. Look at it. Every one of you can look at your family and say, oh my goodness, this has been rough. You know what the next thing out of your mouth should be? Praise God. He cares enough. He loved me enough. He chose me, and he put me in things that will destroy any human being. He put me through things that so many people going through way less have long time they left. That root got pulled right out. Oh, this is too much for me. But even though I try to pull away, I can't get that root out of there. I can't leave. I can't go. I got to stay here. I can't even go anywhere because I'm stuck in this good ground and it's got such a hold on me I can't get out. Friends, if you still think, oh, I'm going to stick here, I'm going in the rapture, sir, okay. How many people have come with that testimony? Praise God, I know I'm going to stay here. I'm going in the rapture. You need to be saying, praise God, God's put me through the rapture, because if it was up to me and you, we'd have left a long time ago. There is no person who is strong enough in their own self to go through what the bride has to go through. Let me just say that again. There's no person who is strong enough in their own ability, their own religion, their own mind, to go through what the bride has got to go through to be prepared for the rapture. None of us are strong enough. Boy, that makes me happy. Because that means if I'm still here, it's by the grace of God and His strength. He said, I will take care of you. I am your shelter. I am the rock in the weary land. I will give you something to drink. I will feed you. I will take care of you. Just run to me. Run to the shelter. Brother Jerry preached it last week. He said, He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our strong tower. All He wants to do is say, just trust me because I trust you. He said, I trust you. Can't you trust me? And I said, God, forgive me. Because I still get a hold, that fear tries to get a hold, that fear, and he said, that's a lie. That's a lie. That feeling you have is a lie. That addiction is a lie. That way to protect yourself, it's a lie. I got to go back. And, you know, we got, what are we doing to go into this? You know, if we go to our own nature, is David, Satan is saying, this will make you happy. You need this. And God is saying, I can make you happier. Satan says, I can make you happier. God said, who are you going to believe? That's why it's sin is unbelief, because you believe Satan's lie that I'll be happier if I give into this. You know what, Brother Paul, if I would, I just going to have to tell you off, because you just push my buttons. And so I'm going to be happier by just venting on Brother Paul. That's Satan's lie. So if I give myself away and Brother Paul says something to push my buttons, my own nature says, say something to him. Papa says, why don't you be like Jesus? Fine. I'll prove him how I'm better than he is. I won't say anything. Okay, Pharisee. The light can only shine in the present time. You cannot walk in what was yesterday's light. You can't get warmed by yesterday's fire. That light that shone yesterday in yesterday's ministry, you can't do it. I don't care if it's 4 years ago, 5 years, 10 years ago, the last 6 months. You have to walk in the light today. And that light is brought every day. That's why, friends, that's why you come to church. Because if you're not coming to church, you're not walking in the present day light. Well, that's just 1 week. Friends, I miss church a lot around here because I'm traveling and different things. I go other places and preach. I understand. Sometimes you're sick, you can't make it, things will go on. But when people find a reason not to go to church, every time you miss it, you're backslid. Let me just put it that way. It does. Yeah. Jesus said this, you send unto John, he bear witness unto the truth. I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He, talking about John, he was a burning and shining light. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Oh, we just nailed 90% of message believers right there. I'm sorry. Maybe it's not that high. Maybe it's higher. I don't know. I just threw a number out there. But so many message believers are still trying to enjoy walking in, rejoice in the light. He's shown the prophet this and the prophet this. And let me just go ahead and put this out there. Right now, there's many people in many message churches who just listen to tapes, and they don't talk about William Branham, the prophet, anymore. They talk about Joseph, the Branham, the prophet, anymore. And when you're around them, they'll have their church gatherings and their lunches and all, and all they talk about is what Joseph is doing. That's all. He has become their God. He has become their prophet, their infallible prophet. He was a burning and shining light. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works that the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Brother and sister, that scripture is your scripture. He said that was Jesus talking about himself. Okay, well, who do you think you are? That same Holy Spirit, it's the same thing. If John was a burning and shining light, you were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. You see, you're greater than Brother Branham. I am not greater than Brother Branham. But the word continues to go forward. And I cannot just be identified with that light back there. I have to be identified with the works that the Father has given me to fulfill. And you must be identified with the works that God has given you to fulfill. You have to walk in today's light. That sun is shining bright, friends. That he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation. That light has come into the world. And men loved darkness, the going between. He said it was light, not compared to the sunlight. It's light, but it ain't light like when the sun's blazing on you. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because, hey, yeah, Brother Phil, you look around the world, look at everyone, what they're doing out there. Don't even go there, friends. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the religious people. I'm talking about the message believers. I'm talking about the people who love their darkness. They love their self. More than they love Christ. And they will just sit there and they will just say, well, I'm not going to change. I'm going to be comfortable. They love darkness rather than light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Hateth the light. He said, but Phil, I do evil. I do things wrong. Of course you do. That old nature that we all still are affected with, it hates the light. Well, not mine, Brother Phil. Yes, it does. Until you get a body change, your own nature is always going to hate the light. So to bring it under subjection to the word. We don't like to hear that, do we? Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Welcome to 2022 Church of Dixon. Why are there so many empty pews this morning? Because people refuse to come to the light because their deeds will be reproved by the light. And they can go to a church where the deeds are not reproved. They can go to a church where, yeah, brother, you're a message believer, of course. You've been believing this message for 30 years. Yeah, the rapture, they just got a place waiting for you, brother. Make sure you pay your tithe and offering before you leave. People don't like having their deeds reproved. That's why we squirm sometime when the message is being preached, because it's reproving our evil deeds. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. It didn't say he that heareth truth. He that says truth. He that doeth truth. How do you do the truth? They asked Jesus, how do we please God, how do we do the works of God? He said, believe on him who he hath sent. 2022 version. It's a fivefold ministry. It is. That's whom he has sent to get us ready to go in the rapture. I have another message I've been studying up about perfecting the bride, and Brother Branham says over and over and over. Apostles, prophets, missionaries, or pastors, evangelists, and teachers are for the perfecting of the bride. Without that, there's no perfecting. He said if you believe in prophets, you have to believe in evangelists. If you believe in evangelists, you have to believe in teachers. And if you say, well, I just need the prophet. Okay, well, you got a great big green area on your wheat that's not going to come to maturity. You might still be saved through the tribulation period, but that's not going in the rapture. Because when the combine comes, it only takes the mature wheat. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So what a person wants to do, they want to be made manifest, prove that what they're doing is truth. What they are doing the truth, that they are living the life, that they are shining the light. And how do you do that? Is you get in the light and you examine yourself and see if the life you're living is the light or not, because you must be that light. You are the light of the world because you are the very body that God shining the light through. He always uses human beings. He always shines the light through humanity. They prefer a lukewarm religion. Let me just read this. I think I got time. The church has departed from what she originally was. She is hybrid. The church nominal is hybrid. People say, I'm a Baptist. It wasn't so in the beginning. I'm a Methodist. It wasn't so in the beginning. I'm a message believer. It wasn't so in the beginning. Your title means nothing to God. Instead of the straight word of God, instead of spirit-filled men in the church, who are led by spirit-given revelation, there are now creeds and bylaws and the educated guesses of educated men. Instead of the spirit leading the ministry, instead of the spirit leading the church, we have people who are not necessarily ministers. We have just taped, and we just have this idea and that idea, and we're going to preach in such a way that the people will be comfortable sitting there so they don't leave. Learning has taken the place of revelation. How many people are just educated into what the Papa said? And they can spit off quotes and quotes and quotes, but when it comes to doing the truth, it's not being manifest in their life. We have taken a hybrid, sheltered approach to Christianity. The darkness is separating itself from the light, God causing it, the light's doing it, the light pressing itself in such a way till the darkness has to congregate together. They had a chance to accept it, and they wouldn't do it, so it's condensed itself. They could have. They had it, but they didn't want it, and so they gathered themselves against the light. Darkness always gathers itself against light. When I was running Friday morning, and it was getting lighter and lighter, the darkness was still there, but it was going to the other side of the earth because the light was pushing it out, because darkness cannot stand in the place of light. And that's why you can come to this church, and the light will shine, and it'll poke something out, and it'll expose something in your life. But when you're in that darkness will flee, and you will repent, you say, oh, I want to serve God. But then when you get out of that atmosphere, that darkness comes back because you don't stay in that atmosphere. You have to. You have to stand. You have to walk in it. That's called dying to yourself. We got so much time. We got so much time for so many things. We got so much time to listen to so many Satan's lies. And they affect us, and we think a certain thing, and pretty soon we're walking into that with that. It's just clouding up our atmosphere, clouding up our mind, so the Holy Spirit cannot come and manifest. I'm going to go tell on myself. Thursday, I was at work, and I was standing there working at my cubicle, and this lady, she works in an office right there. She came walking by, and usually when she walks by, she'll say, morning, Phil, hey, Phil, something. This time, she just walked by like this. Ignored me. Right away, Satan pops up. She don't like you. So we're friends. We know. Well, how come she ignored you? He brought the answer. She's friend with the lady that works there that doesn't like me. I mean, it's known. You know? And she's poisoned her against me to get her to quit liking me too. See, I had it all figured out. I knew exactly why she ignored me. And then my next thought was, fine, who cares? I don't need her anyways. You ever have been there? She goes, I guess she went back, and a couple of minutes later, she comes walking back, just kind of walking by. And something aside, I just like, without thinking, I said, good morning, how you doing? Something like that. Just called her out, you know? She said, oh, hey, Phil, how you doing? She said, you know what? I am having such a hard day. I did this, and she stood there, and we chatted for about 4 or 5 minutes. She wasn't ignoring me more than anything. She was just so taken up with all the stuff she was dealing with. She's a director there. She was so busy, and her family was in visiting, and she had this going on and that going on. And after a few minutes, she just kind of perked up. She went to the office, and she was much better because I bothered to say, how you doing, instead of sitting there in my own little feelings of, well, if she don't like me, I don't like her either. It's that simple, friends. It's that simple. How many times when I got this feeling, well, that person don't really like me, that person don't, and you sit down and talk to them anyway without any kind of defending yourself, without any kind of, just very open, start chatting on the kids I work with and all that. You know, they say, well, who's this old guy, whatever. And you sit down there and you just start seeing, they see you're not judging them, you're not defending yourself, you're just open. Hey, you want to? I like you. I'm willing to be your friend. Whatever you do, that's up to you, but I'm willing to be your friend. And it just breaks down those walls. Because Brother Bram said the Holy Spirit always goes where he's invited. Even when he's treated like he was at Simon the Pharisee's house. You sure you want to be like Jesus? Because that's not fun. I don't like going places where people don't like me. I don't like going places where they're going to treat me disrespectful. But you know what? That's sometimes what it means to be a Christian. A few years later, when trials come, the church got all shook up. As is so easy for a congregation of people to do when something just don't seem to be happening the way it was supposed to be. How many times have we been shook up because things around here weren't happening the way we thought they should be done? The way we're expected. The way God was doing it. I mean, we could sit here, like I said, every one of us in our family, you can see situations that, oh my goodness, why would God allow that to happen that way? God makes it that way. He chooses these things. God brings tensions into the church. Every son that cometh to God must be tried and proven and tested. You're not going to be in the bride of Christ in this age without being tried and tested and proved. He's going to prove to you who you are, and he's going to prove that you believe who you are because the attributes of a believer are in you, not because how holy you live or how much you understand the message or how much you can quote the prophet, because he's going to prove that you can't get away if you wanted to. And when you've tried, you came back. You might have been that prodigal son, but you're going to come to your senses one day and say, here I am living out in the mud of the world, all dirty and nasty and stinky, but I got something inside that's calling me back to someplace that I don't even remember being, but I was there before because something inside me came from there, and it's going to take me back to there, and you start realizing who you are, and then nothing's going to get you out of here. But you can't do that to yourself. It's revealed to you. It's got to be something that God does, because you're the elect. You can't elect yourself. He elects you. He put you here. He put you through all this. He tests you, and then he brings you to a place. He says, now I finally got you where you want to be. He lets sickness strike you. So many people have had hard times come, and they say, well, that's the way God's going to treat me? Forget it. He let my mom die? Forget it. He let this happen in my family? I can't trust a God like that. I can't trust a God who lets me go through hardship and trial. I can't trust a God who lets me go through pain and lose family members. I can't trust. Well, who are you going to trust during those times? You think if you don't trust God, you're not going to go through those things? At least when you go through those things, you got some comfort. You got a rock to run to. You got someone who's going to comfort you. You have a promise that you're going to see those people again. Because if you give up on God, then you're more than an idiot. You're a lunatic. You think Satan's going to get you some kind of happiness? Everyone goes through hardship, friends. He lets disease come upon you to test you, to prove you, to show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. Brother Jim Horner, he went through something a few years ago. He almost died because he was so tore up. His subconscious was so tore up about what happened to Brother Tim. And the doctor even told him, you need to quit thinking about him or it's going to kill you. And the doctor was right. Even got to a point, I guess I can say, that Brother David asked, can I speak at your funeral? I think he had 2 weeks. The doctor said, I can't help you anymore. I'm giving up. Go to someone in Nashville. He went home. Sister Joyce put him to bed. The next thing he remembers, he's standing at the doorway of the bedroom looking at Sister Joyce. He's got his clothes on. She said, what's wrong now? He said, I'm well. He
He said, let's go for a drive. He wouldn't even drive his truck anymore. He wouldn't drive anything. When Sister Joyce was driving more than 30 miles an hour, he'd say, slow down, you're going to get us killed. His mind had so warped to such a place, it was literally physically killing him. And God came that night and healed him, and he was perfectly fine from then on. God allows those things to happen. You know what he did with that? He's told about half the people in Dixon about that. It's true. Because God wants the world to know. He wants Dixon to know that. You know what? There is a reality. There's a real God here in this little church. And you do with what you want, with what you know, but there is a reality here. And you know why they don't want to come anyway? They can recognize there is truth. And you all had these kind of testimonies where people see God in you, and they like it, and they respect it. I can talk about at work, you know, when I come around, you know, people are sitting there talking, laughing, and they quit telling their dirty jokes, and they quit using profanity, and sometimes they'll let a swear word come out, and they'll pop. I never say anything. It's like, I've been cussed out so many times, I don't even think about it. But they'll, oh, I'm sorry, brother. They don't call me brother. I'm sorry, Phil, or something like that. And then they'll try to clean up their language. But because they see something in me that they know is real. So why don't they come to church? Why don't they come here then? Because they love the darkness. But there's something in you. There is part of you that loves darkness, but there's something in you that was stronger that said, I love light better. Another part. He permits it by his own will. He permits disasters. He permits friends to turn against you. He permits all these things, turn the devil loose to tempt you. Amen. He'll do all but take your life. He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. He turned the church against you. He can do almost anything, and it's God's will for him to do it. We are taught as more precious than gold to us. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. It's more precious because it's getting us to that point where we are exactly where he wants us to be. We're not waiting on God for the rapture. He's waiting on us. Brother Branham said the rapture should have happened a long time ago. People like the light. They want to walk in the light, but they don't want Christ. There's a difference. There's a difference. They can walk in this educated light. They can see more light. They have more manifestation of the Spirit. They have all this stuff going on. How does Satan deceive us, deceive people to not walk in the light? Because he allows us to be Christians. Brother Branham said this, you've heard this many times. In the last day, Lucifer is doing the same thing. Can you see it? The devil doing the same thing, building up a hybrid church by hybrid members, by knowledge instead of the word, intellectual men instead of born again men, building an intellectual kingdom that'll outshine Christ's little bitty flock. It looks like it's got more light because it has more manifestation sometimes. It has more shouting. It has more worship. It has more intellectual mysteries. It has all this stuff going on, and it's got bigger crowds, and you got big preachers coming, and you got all this stuff going on, and it looks like it's outshining Christ's little bitty flock. And it's very comfortable. What is it that did that? Fallen angels. The Bible said it was fallen angels who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who they once belonged to. Listen, fallen angels, what kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal, message believer. There is a true fivefold ministry, but because there's a true, there's also a false fivefold ministry. And over the last several years, I've listened to more preachers streaming than I've ever had in my life, and I've heard a ton of good preaching. I also heard some less than great preaching. There's a lot of false ministers preaching this gospel. And that's why you see a lot of them walking away. And they have great signs and wonders. It looks like, oh my goodness, look at this ministry. This is wonderful. And the next thing you know, they're denying the prophet and the message and everything else. They kept not their first estate like the angel did and fell into organizations like Luther's main holdout in Nicaea. What have they done? Organize a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast. Message believing 2022, friends. Don't let's not put that out there. The Antichrist spirit is working within the framework of the true church. Look, this whole thing about listening to tapes instead of ministry. We saw the light of that. Brother Jerry exposed that years ago. That's not deceiving. They've gotten so far out on a limb right now that they can't get back. And they're just sitting out there waiting for that limb to break off. I pray that God does something to break that up, because there's a lot of really good, sincere people who, if they could come out of that house of hell, they could be set free and their eyes could be open. But as long as they're sitting out there in that, it's going to be hard. I don't know what it's going to take, but whatever it takes to break that whole thing open, set those people free. Discouragement. This is one of the greatest weapons Satan uses against us, to ruin that atmosphere. I'm going to tell myself again. I don't know. I don't live with you. I can't tell on any of you. Otherwise, I'd be telling on you. Last week, I believe it was, it was about 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock something. I used to go to bed around 9 or 10. I had a couple hours. And I was going to spend this time studying, praying, and just kind of, with God. And I got sidetracked. And I was, and next thing I know, it's 9 o'clock, it's 9:30. I was wasted 2 hours, just wasted time. It wasn't something sinful, but it was like stuff that's unnecessary, especially when I was planning on studying. And it's time to go to bed. I lay down on my bed. I just was so discouraged. I mean, I've done this so many times. You do something, I want to do this, and then it don't work out that way, and you give in to this idea, whatever. You probably know what I'm talking about. And I laid down and the thought, and I wanted to pray. I said, God, I so disgusted. I said, God, I don't even know what to say. Wrong thing to say. Because he came back pretty quick and said, yes, you do. I said, okay. And I said, I'm sorry, God. And I started praising him. I started thanking him for all the things he's done for me. I started praising him for all the promises he's given, what he's going to fulfill in my life, all the work he is currently doing, all the things that I've seen him do. And in just a few minutes, the Holy Spirit was there, and I faded off to sleep, very rested and peaceful. Why? Because I refused Satan's discouragement and lay there. Oh, I'm just such a weak Christian. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, is this ever going to change? God ain't feeling sorry for me. You having a hard time? Welcome to humanity. How do you deal with it? How do you handle these hard times? You get discouraged? You start talking Satan's gospel? Well, I sure have a hard time with this. I don't know when I'm ever going to overcome this. This is just, here I go again. Oh my goodness, the same old thing. Go ahead, preach Satan's gospel. Quit walking in the sun. Put up that little umbrella and protect your feelings and protect your own nature. Or take God at his word and start confessing it, because if you will confess God's word, it will put you right back in the presence of the Son, because you have to die to yourself in order to confess God's word. In order to take God at his word, God, you said I was free, you said I was healed, you said whatever it is you promised me, and here I don't see it, but it has nothing to do with it, because your promise said it was, and your own nature is like, why don't you be quiet? You say, I'm going to say it anyways. That's what puts you back into the presence of the Son. And that old Son is just burning that greenness out of you and bringing that immaturity, because you're going to confess God's word no matter what. And then Satan says, well, what if it doesn't happen? What is that to you, devil? What do you care? You give him way too much credit, friends. He's a bluff. You know what a bluff is? It's someone who jumps up in your face. Let me give you an example. When you go backpacking in bear country, they will tell you, if you see a black bear, bluff it. You yell at it. You don't run. You make yourself big. If you're by yourself, you take your pack off, you hold your pack above your head, so you look bigger. And you talk very firmly to it. Go away. No. No. Just like that, and you back away. And now, typically, a black bear, and if you got people with you, you all get in a clump, so you look bigger. Knowing full well that if that bear charges and attacks you, they're going to eat you. Right? You bluff it. And that's what Satan does to us, like we're a bunch of black bears. You better not confess Jesus Christ because you're going to make a reproach because you know that you're going to fall into sin again. And if you do that and you said you're a Christian, people are going to see you and then you're going to be just reproached. You better just not confess Christ at all. And when you say that you're born again, how do you really know? For my goodness sake, you better wait till you have greater experience than that before you start confessing you're born again. And everything else Satan comes to you and tells you. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Caleb? Absolutely. He's bluffing. All you have to do is charge. You just run into him and say, get out of my head. Get out of my life. Go back to hell. If you're in bear country and a grizzly comes up and you try bluffing him, he's going to crush your head. He will. He'll take your head in his skull and crush it. Grizzlies don't bluff. You challenge a grizzly, he's the apex predator. He ain't afraid of anybody. He will attack. So be a grizzly. And when Satan tries to attack you, crush him. You have the full authority of the word. Every promise in the Bible, every promise that God has revealed to you personally, you need to attack. When Satan attacks you, you run back. You charge at him. It's like David going after Goliath. It wasn't like, Satan, leave me alone. Goliath, leave me alone. I'm warning you. No, he picked up his stones, he got his sling, and he ran towards the giant. Brother and sister, when Satan comes at you, run towards him. You're going to find him backpedaling really fast. Now, let me finish up here. For many years, there's something about here, something I'm going to get into right now, that I saw it wrong. I preached it wrong. And by the grace of God, I'm going to fix that today. I used to think that as the bride, you know, the pyramid, right? We come up and come up to just the right hand, the capstone comes down and sits on the body of Christ, right? And I always believed for many years that we were that last little level and then we're waiting for the Christ to come down and be the headstone on that pyramid. And we were like just getting honed up and just right, so he's going to come down and sit. That ain't true. Because when you look at your body is not made of human flesh and your head is made of something else. That headstone has to be only the same substance as the rest of the body. Brother and sister, the bride, this new day, this life that I'm talking about, is the headstone. It's you. That body of Christ that's sitting there waiting for the headstone, that's already in place. They're just waiting for us to get to the point where we can sit right down on top of them because they without us are not made perfect. They are waiting for us to be perfected. It's not, you know, maybe you thought, well, when Christ comes down in the rapture, we meet him in the air, that's a headstone coming to the body. No, because then he's coming to a decapitated body. He has to have the whole body that he's married to, and he's going to come, and the whole body is perfect. And you and I, brother and sister, are that finishing touch. The manifestation of that headstone is through his bride. It's got to be through his bride because we're the final voice to the final end. We are the ones that he can speak through. We are the ones that he can marry. And we are the ones that he can shine this light through. So when he says arise and shine, he's saying, this is you. You are the light of the world. You are the final voice. You are the final part of this body. And you're going to be the headstone that sits down there and completes the body of Christ. We are that, friends. And it takes a little stretch. You say, but Brother Phil, what does that put us? It put us right there as the most battle-scarred veterans, most battle-scarred part of the bride that's ever going to be, because that's why he has to trust you, because he's going to give you such authority of the word. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but we have such authority of the word that he said, you speak what you want to say, and it's going to come to pass, because I trust you as my word. You won't use it on your own self. You won't use it just to for your family or for your church, but you will wait until the Holy Spirit says speak, and then it will speak. That's why we're going through what we're going through. That's why this church has been so tried. That's why it's all this. And let me just say something else. We have, you know, a lot of times we see what, you know, what this church has gone through in here. Brother and sister, a lot of churches around the world are going through just as tough times as we are. The rest of the bride is always being tried, but sometimes we don't see it because we just see our own little group. But if you get out and look around a little bit, you see all kinds of suffering and battles and trials and people being knocked all over the place and sickness and death and everything going on. And it's not just our little group, it's the entire body of Christ. We want to see the rapture. We need to be ready. We need to get a place where we can sit down. That light is shining through. How can that light shine something else? He has always used his body to shine the light through. Oh, it's always been the body of Christ. He can't use it all the way up to there and then say, okay, I'm going to change it and the head's going to be some different substance. It's got to be the same substance. It's got to be the same flesh, his bone. He has to use our voice, our hands, our feet to be the body of Christ. He can all of a sudden change it and do something else like those tape ministries think he is. They think, oh, we're the body of Christ, but then at the very end, we're going to put a tape recorder on top. Or we're going to put Joseph Branham on top. Brother and sister, it's going to be the very bride of Christ, got such a place, honed down to such a place that it fits perfectly. They're waiting for us. They're waiting for us. And as long as we don't walk in the sun when it's available, as long as we're just like kind of hiding away, well, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have to die to that. I don't want to deal with that person. I don't want to deal with this situation. I want to be safe. I want to protect myself from the pain and from the awkwardness and from the rejection and from the persecution. I don't want to have to deal with that. I'm just going to separate myself off to myself. As long as we're doing that, we are in our own man-made atmosphere, and there's no way we come to maturity. Impossible to come to maturity without being in the sun. That is our purpose. Brother Jerry is preaching on that. The rock, the shelter, the safety place. You know, the whole world wants a safe place. If you say something that bothers their feelings or their beliefs, oh my goodness, they're tore up. I've had people tore up about the things I teach. Oh my goodness, Phil said, made a joke about something. And it says, oh my goodness, they're just crying and everything. It's ridiculous. The safe place is in Christ. But let me explain something to you. In that Christ, that safe place, you get burned at the stake. You get rejected. You get crucified. You get persecuted. You get hated. That's what it means to be in Christ. That's the safety zone. It ain't for this. Not for this old nature, you ain't no safety. It's for that something inside, that eternal part. That's what matters. And when we can focus and live for that, you know how you do that? I'm going to quit here. You know how you do that? It's by living for others. That's how you do it. Instead of living for yourself, it's for living for others. Let me read this last quote. Go ahead and stand so I'll quit talking. He said, to me, I want to see what's promised for the day. I want to know what the light of the hour is so I can know how to walk in it. I want to know where I'm living, what age I'm in, how far up the road am I. We all need to know that, friends. You need to know where you're at. You need to know how far up the road. You need to know if you're lagging behind. You need to know if you're protecting something. You need to know what you have to give to God. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. We have to know what we're doing, what we're holding back. And that's why you go to church, because, brother and sister, the preaching of the word, that Holy Spirit's going to come to the ministry and it's going to expose that thing in your life that you're holding back. And that's why you have to come to church, because this is where you get perfected. And if you're not being perfected by the fivefold ministry, by preaching the truth, true word of God, it's not going to happen. You're going to wake up one day and you say, this looks like tribulation. Brother Brown said, the rapture is long gone. What a horrible place to be. I used to have nightmares about that. I used to be afraid because I knew that. I was taught I couldn't go in the rapture. And so I knew one day I was going to wake up and I was going to be in the tribulation period. That's a great way to raise a kid. You want to raise a kid paranoid and in fear? Do that. Teach them they can't really be saved. Teach them they can't be born again. You talk about the grace of God. He turned around and proved and said, that's just a lie. I want to know where I'm at. Paul said, I could stand court again. Forgetting those things that are in the past. I press towards the mark, the high calling. Forget the things in the past. Whatever it is you've done, whatever is going on in the past, whatever mistakes you made, whatever happened here, whatever you learn from that and you put it in the past and you only look to the promise that's before you and you keep walking forward. And when you do that, you're going to notice that you're walking out of the shade and you're walking right into the blazing hot sun and it's not comfortable because used to when I come to church, I could get in the spirit and I could rejoice. Now I just sit there with my teeth in my mouth and it used to, I could just enjoy the preaching. Now it seems I can't even hear what's going on and I just can't get my mind right and this is going crazy and my family has lost their minds too and everything's just nuts and I don't know what's going on. You're right where you're supposed to be. You're right where you're supposed to be. You're right there in the desert and it's hot and it's uncomfortable and nobody likes it there except the Holy Spirit in you. It's saying, oh, suntan. It's true. It's true. It's what it longs for. That's what it desires. The Holy Spirit in you is saying, yes, this is what I've been longing for. Praise God. Amen. Turn this off.
God bless you, friends. I tell you what, it's just the atmosphere, it's in here, there's such a pull, it's easy to preach. It's just so good. I know that there's hungry hearts, and it's just the Holy Spirit is here to feed us. It's such a great atmosphere, and I appreciate you. To see people just pressing on with so many people falling away, so many people getting discouraged, and this church is going this way, and these people going that way, but yet you can come here and just get away from that a little bit. Get out of that gross darkness out there and get into a little bit of light in here. Amen. You love the Lord? I tell you what, he's good to us. Let's just bow our heads. Friends, if you have something in your life that you just recognize that, you know what, I'm holding on a little bit to this. I got an umbrella up over here in this area of my life. I got a little shade over here. I sit underneath this shade tree instead of being out in the sun because I don't really want to deal with this right now. It's too painful. It's too upsetting. It's just something I don't feel ready to deal with right now. You want to just take that umbrella down. And sometimes you have to have God just cut that whole shade tree down and say, we're going to get rid of this thing because it's keeping you from the sun. Get up and walk in the light. Get up and walk through the desert. Get up and go. Because through that desert, brother and sister, you're going to find there's oasis. It's called Sunday morning. And you can come and you can get out of that hot sun. And not so much to get out of it for your old nature, but you can come and get a drink of water. And so you can keep pressing on because your old flesh just needs to die. So if you have something you want to just release to God, you just ask him to come this morning and just set you free, just to release a little bit more of that self. Just take it to him right now as we pray, and I believe he is here to answer your prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that you would come this morning and tell us what you think about us, to tell us where we're at, to show us how to walk, to show us how we can come to a closer walk with you. We were singing that song, I Give Myself Away, and it was so in tune with, right along with what the Holy Spirit was going to say, is to give ourselves away, to get to such a place where you can so trust us. We're not protecting ourselves. We're not holding on to ourselves. We're not holding on to family. We're not holding on to church. We're not holding on to our job or money or anything like that, but we let that all go to walk just you and us individually alone, Lord Jesus. And I believe there are hearts in here who that's their heart's desire. That's what we long for. And they're willing, Lord Jesus, to hold to the thrones of the altar and let this old nature be stripped away. And sometimes, Father, we need a bit of the Holy Spirit. We need you to come and just help us to do this, to give us a little bit of a unction, a little urge, a little holding on with your strength so that you can do the work you want, because our old nature squirms and twists and finds an excuse. And sometimes we're just too tired, and sometimes we just don't know how to deal with it, and it's just too painful, and the fear of letting that go is too much because it's been a comfort for so many years. But Lord Jesus, you're here this morning to say, I am your the great provider. I am El Shaddai. I will be the one to take care of you. I am here to set you free. All you have to do is ask me, and I'll come down and cut those cords that are holding you to your own nature, and we want to give more of ourselves away this morning than we ever have before. I believe this is the heart of every person in here, Lord Jesus, so I ask that your Holy Spirit come and grant it and just water this word and just give them the faith to believe that it's finished and it's done and they're ready to walk in the light of the new day.
Lord Jesus, we're so grateful. Thank you, Father, for what we have seen you do already, what you have promised to do, what we see you doing right now. And Lord Jesus, we know by looking, we can look around us, we can see the word, we can see the time we're in, we can watch Israel, we can see the state of the church, we can see the state of the bride, and it tells us that the rapture has got to be just so soon, Lord Jesus. And so everyone here, Lord, we all have a ways to go. We all have to come to more maturity. So Lord, do that work, whatever it takes. Everyone here agrees, whatever it takes, shut us down, take away what has to happen, Lord Jesus, but make sure that we don't miss the rapture. It will all be worth it one day, Lord. How we thank you, Lord Jesus. How we praise your name. Amen. Amen.